Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Give it to me. Give it to me.
Oh, hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we analyze the hottest trends, the happenings, the things that are definitely a thing, have been a thing, might become a thing by our still, after lo these many months, not yet patented scientific method of looking around at the world. Thanks
for
joining
us. The FDA cannot recommend us as a mood enhancer.
Not officially.
But holistically, we believe we are.
We are basically the black elderberry of podcasts right now.
Wait, are elderberries poisonous?
No, dude. Black elderberry is like the new anti... Oh, my God. Like, my thing is becoming a thing. Black elderberry is a thing. I'm sneaking in a bonus thing. Like, as a it's the new echinacea. Like, oh, you won't get sick if you take black elderberry.
I just associate elderberry with the... And no one else does. Trust me. I know this before saying it. But then the play, Arsenic and Old Lace, which was later turned into a movie starring Cary Grant, they serve elderberry wine to people to poison them. But I guess the elderberry isn't the poison in it. They put arsenic in it. So I'm just confused.
Because everybody was drinking elderberry wine because it keeps you healthy.
Elderberries
are
not poisonous.
Back then you really needed it.
I just want to make that clear right now.
No, you should definitely go buy that stuff to not get a cold during the winter, which I'm just saying, listen, I get every cold and I've been taking this black elderberry in chewy form for like months. And so far, that's me knocking. It's working.
We are the non-arsenic elderberry of the internet.
Of podcasts, exactly. Of mood lifting podcasts. That's our deal.
And let me tell you, my first thing that I want to bring up, now that we're in the actual things, I texted both you and our producer, Rich, immediately upon tasting this because it lifted my mood. It's a draft latte.
Is it alcoholic?
No, it's just coffee. And you, most people will have, well, it also has milk in it. Most people will, cause latte, that means milk. Most people will have encountered it in can form, I have come to learn, but I first encountered it straight from the tap at the La Colombe coffee shop in Beverly Hills.
Which is interesting because it appears, I lied. So, but wait, like it's just a, what is the draft part? So it's a latte. Is it cold? Is it hot? Tell me more.
It's cold. That's one key. Like if you want a hot latte, this isn't it. But it doesn't have any ice. It comes through a tap like a beer and gets frothed in the tap. So you don't ever heat it up. The milk is never heated. Comes out cold, frothy, and delicious. It is that the best frothed milk I've ever had. And it's good coffee. La Colombe makes good, decent coffee. It was just delightful. And no ice, no chips, nothing. It's not an iced coffee. It just smooth and kind of sweet, but not because they added sugar to it. Just kind of the milk comes out.
Like the milk, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This sounds delicious. Did they like invent it? Oh, no, I found an article about it. Draft latte, the latte you have been waiting for at spoonuniversity.com. Oh, but La Colombe invented it, apparently.
Yeah, like, okay. I was going to guess that because I have not been able to find it anywhere else. The only two draft lattes I can find are either at a La Colombe outlet or in like Whole Foods and other grocery stores. You can buy the La Colombe draft latte in a can, and those use the same little capsule that like Guinness uses in their cans to add the draft experience, the draft frothiness to, in this case, a latte instead of a beer, but same idea.
Dude, this sounds amazing. It's and really by the way, good. I had never heard of La Colombe, which also sub thing, because apparently it's a brand that's in all these different stores like Target and CVS and Publix and Pick and Save. And all of them have Canadian? Draft lattes.
No, it's not Canadian. What is it?
Well, what? I don't know, but I'm fascinated. Wow.
It's Philadelphia, La Colombe is.
Oh.
Not Canada. Obviously,
as the name would have suggested.
Right. Right.
That looks good.
I had a wonderful time. I was waiting for my wife to do some stuff, run some errands. And I was like, I'm just going to go sit in a coffee shop. And I found this place and I saw the draft latte. And I'm like, I'll experiment. Draft latte, please. And they go over to a tap. It looks like one of those modern taps with the little tiny black, you know, plastic thing. Mm-hmm. And they just tip the thing just like you would with a beer. And they pull out a latte for you.
Yum. Super yum. Let this become an even bigger thing. Because like the can thing sounds totally fine or whatever, and you get sort of a Guinness vibe out of it. I want to try the
can
thing now.
Because like a canned Guinness is good, but it's never as good as straight out of the tap, right? Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Huh. Well, I'm going for a draft of a different variety.
Okay.
The alcoholic kind. As we occasionally like to do on this show, I'm going to talk about wine. But I think I recently mentioned on the show that I've discovered my new favorite wine is spicy and jammy. And it seems to me that the only way I can ever get that is with a red blend, which led me to look around at all of my wine consumption recently and the store and go, oh, hey, those are everywhere right now. Red blends are a thing. Like, forget about, you know, no more Cabernet Sauvignon, no more like just a Pinot Noir. How boring. No more Merlot.
Because it used to be that a blend was at least perceived as making up for deficiencies, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, they took the lesser things and made a blend and then they weren't so bad.
Right.
But it I don't think like that was ever really the thing. It was just a prejudice. And now it doesn't seem to be a problem at all.
Exactly. Red blends were like the stew meat of steak. And now it's like, no, it's a great way to get this like yummy flavor that's sort of new, you know, especially it makes sense to me because people who are into wine probably feel like, oh, I've had it all. I've had a cab that tastes like a cab and a Pinot that tastes like a Pinot and a Merlot that tastes like Merlot. And so then they're creating these like yummy new flavors.
That makes sense.
And it is working. So it seems like they started to become a thing around 2015. So it's been a little while. But as of 2019, red blends are number two on Nielsen's measured U.S. official channel numbers behind Cabernet Sauvignon as the most popular choice of red wine.
Everybody loves a cab still.
Yep. But it has been a big deal. 11%
have knocked off Merlot, Malbecs,
Pinots, Zinfandel is Ova. And red blends, along, interestingly, with Moscato and Malbec, which is also totally a thing. I've definitely noticed Malbec becoming more
Me too.
Popular. Double-digit growth year after year, with Pinot Grigio and Pinot Noir demonstrating the next strongest upward trends.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense that at a certain point, as wine drinking has widened over the decades, right? It's gone from being like a very, very specialty thing to something that pretty much everybody can do. There's no more of that like, oh, I don't drink wine. I wouldn't know what
I'm
to
not
order,
a wine
right?
person. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a, you don't have to be a wine person to drink wine. That's been true for a while now that people would be like, well, okay. I mean, yeah, there's differences between cabs, but a cab's a cab's a cab. There's only a certain dynamic range it can inhabit because it's made from a Cabernet grape. So what else you got, vintners? And then they start figuring out like, well, we could make new flavors by combining elements of, yeah, that totally makes sense.
I know, it really does. And I am into it. And it's one of those sort of like sneak things where it just crept up on me because I noticed like, I'm just, you know, I'm seeking them out more and I'm buying red blends and I really like them. And it's a nice way to get this sort of like, it's a nice way to get a substantial wine, like it's flavorful but easy to drink and blah 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 blah. And then all of a sudden I was like, they're all around me. There are so many. In fact, I even saw a sign at a store recently for the first time that said red blends, and I was like, aha.
Do you think that it's probably still true that at the very top end a blend would never, you know, match a Chateau Lafite 1954 or whatever, you know, but that in that broad middle where most of us can afford to drink wine.
Right, where everybody is, exactly.
It's not even an issue.
I wonder, yeah. I that would make a lot of sense. Like if like a perfect, pure, you know, Cabernet Sauvignon like is always going to be the platonic ideal of a red wine or whatever. And now they're just like, these are the wines like that everybody can drink. And what's also interesting too is that people are able to use them as a, you can just build a brand around it.
Yeah.
In fact, I think actually probably one of the more well-known ones is Ménage à Trois. Like, have you seen that wine label?
No.
Oh, it's like I
get it.
It's
there's
everywhere.
More than it's one.
In Target. Right, exactly.
More
and
than
so
two.
That was like very clever and funny. I bet if I had to pick a point where this started to take off, it was with that Ménage à Trois label because it's everywhere. Like, I mean, literally, I think I was buying it at Target. And it just was so drinkable. And so actually there's even a thing in this Fortune piece I found about it that talks about how like red blends are a platform for you to build a lifestyle brand.
And I think it probably brings up the bottom end too, right? Like if you have a vintage that on its own, it's like, this just really isn't a good year. Maybe if you blend it, mm-hmm. it cancels out some of the bad and can make something good. At Porter points out that most high-end wine is technically a blend. A lot of times you look
fair.
At it, he says, if you look at a cab, it's usually less than 85% cab. But I get the feeling that this red blend trend is like way less than 85%. We're talking about, you can't call this a cab. You have to call it because it's 40%, 40%, 15%, et cetera.
I wonder what the rules are
I bet there are rules.
A cab if it's less than 85. Yeah. I'm sure there are. But yeah, I think it's really interesting. There's one I really like now. 19, what's it called? 19 red blend, 19 something. Hold on. I'll find it.
While you're looking.
19 crimes.
Oh, yeah. I know 19 crimes. They have an augmented
total,
reality
like,
label.
Yep.
You can point their app at the label and the people on the label will talk to you about their stories.
No way.
Yeah.
Dude, because
it has a picture
crimes.
Of a prisoner on the label, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The prisoner will tell you a story.
Oh, like, my goodness.
I was shanghaied in Sydney Harbor in 1892. Except he sounds Australian.
That is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a multi-layered thing. I love it.
You know, I think you're onto a bigger trend here. We should keep an eye out. I think blends in general, like beyond wine, are probably going to become a thing.
Well, I mean, I guess that would explain that weird, like, flavored whiskey situation.
The prejudice against Scotch blends, even though I'm a single malt guy, is weakening. You see a lot more high-end blends.
Oh. Blend, what's the word? I'm like, alcohol trends. No, that makes total sense. Well, and it is because, you know, you got to, like, shake it up.
Yeah.
It's just like, we've all had this thing. Yeah, blended malt. Is making the Scotch whiskey category more accessible and attracting new drinkers.
Yep.
You are so right.
Well, you are. Did you started this? This is it.
Seven
this is how
trends
it begins.
To watch in 2019. InsideTheCask.com.
All right, there we go.
Oh my God, I love it. We're so good at this.
All right, so I'm going to raise the bar. I'm going to take an outside challenge for my next thing.
Oh.
And I think I've discovered a thing within it. Dave, the psychologist, Dave Brodbeck.
Dave Brodbeck
on his podcast was talking to his wife, who's an artist, who's doing this really cool sounding art around like human organs and the way they're constructed. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And they mentioned medical coloring books. And Dave said, there you go, Tom. There's your thing. Medical coloring books. So I found.
Is it the
Open Culture just February 7th, just a couple weeks ago. Is offering free coloring books from world-class libraries, museums, hundreds of free images. I found a bunch of other coloring books, including Smithsonian offering coloring books. Now, I was looking for medical coloring books, and both of these have them. But I think the actual thing I can pull out of it is that these sort of like really fancy, sometimes based on old art coloring books, are a sub thing. Out there.
Totally.
I think there's a subculture of people who are like into this. Like, it's not coloring books for kids. This is like super high end stuff.
Yep. Adult coloring books is definitely a thing. In fact, I have probably gotten them like 2 years in a row for, you know, rando holiday gifts from my mom or something. There was even one. Actually, I got one this year in my stocking that was like People of Walmart coloring book.
Yeah.
I was like, Mom, that's not nice.
And
but
so
yeah,
I think
but
it's,
you're right.
It's
they like, are like a lot of them are very artistic.
It's stepping up its game because February 4th, 100 museums transform their collections into free coloring pages.
Oh my gosh. Art collections. Wow. Yep. This is, I think, the moment that the adult coloring book like thing became.
This could be kind of peak like a adult coloring thing. Book. Yeah.
Peak adult coloring book. That's so interesting, though. I had no idea. This is really neat. I kind of want to download them.
Yeah. They're cool looking, right?
I always think it's going to be really fun, too. But
some of it's like woodblock prints. Some of it are old line art ads.
Yeah. These cool are neat.
Stuff. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. It was supposed to be like meditative and stuff to color. Classy. The classy adult coloring books, not just so the regular classy. Kind.
Yeah. Not that not that unclassy stuff.
Yeah, not like the people of Walmart coloring book. That was not nice, Mom. It was real judgy, Mom.
Wow.
Now I'm like way down the rabbit hole looking at these. They are amazing.
Yeah.
Who can color this?
I don't know.
How much time do you have?
Like, you have to be good at this stuff. Yeah, and you have to keep your Crayolas sharp.
No, these are a colored pencil thing.
No, you're right. What am I even talking about? Crayola? Yep. I'm obviously not in the scene. Like, I just outed myself.
Yeah. They even package them with like fancy.
Uh-huh.
Because apparently fancy coloring pencils are a thing.
Yeah,
there's like some brand that comes in a metal
definitely
tube.
True. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm like, I love how everything is basically just a waterfall that leads to like so many more things.
Yeah.
I believe that my next thing is of questionable taste in some ways. And yet it is everywhere. And I've noticed it a couple of my things lately, I will confess, have come from the fact that I've been like house hunting. And so I've been looking at a lot of staged homes, which is where you start to notice things like the animal print carpets and rugs being like everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
A thing that I'm just starting to see everywhere as a kid's room decor is the indoor play teepee.
Yeah. So a lot of people are going to question the wisdom of using the word teepee for something that is not actually honoring the Native American tradition, perhaps.
That's what I meant.
We can avoid that and call it a tent.
Questionable taste.
If we just call it a tent.
We could, but that's not what they are. And that's what I find so fascinating about this. I mean, like, listen, I just got this like Sunset catalog, you know, Sundance catalog in the mail. And I was like, wow, Native American appropriation is apparently no longer a problem because this is a lot of white ladies and a lot of turquoise. But no. Like when you search this up online and when you see the photos of what I am talking about, there are indoor tents for children, play tents. That is a thing. That's been a thing for a long time. Kids love it.
But then there's the triangular one.
These are teepees. They are called play teepees. Yep. Kid play teepee. Kids play teepee. Children's play teepee with carrying bag. And that's partly why I find it so fascinating. Like, it's definitely a thing, and everybody's doing it, and they're staging kids' rooms with it, and there's outdoor ones. And they are literally, like, triangular tents with sticks coming out the top.
Yeah.
And they're all called teepees.
There's nothing wrong with having a triangular tent with sticks coming out the top, using that form factor and saying, like, hey, I've set this up for my child. So, you know, that with that, I will 100% back you up that I have been inside of one of these playing with my niece within the past 2 weeks. Like, and saw a picture of someone else's child where they had one set up. Like, the American living room is populated with these. If you have a child, I'm very curious if our producer, Rich Straffolino, who has two young children, also has one of these in his room.
I mean, the indoor tent thing, like, just to be fair, the indoor tent thing is the genesis of this thing.
Yeah, but the triangular one with the three sticks. Yeah, for sure. That's the new hotness.
I mean, it's okay. They're called teepees.
I know.
Like, it's okay. It's okay to call them that. What I
don't know.
Think is
That's
weird.
That's why I'm just like, I'm trying to avoid the issue.
I know. I mean, I guess that's sort of the questionable taste part of it. Like, without a doubt, it is some big time appropriation. They're really cute. And
yeah,
I guess people think that they look cuter.
Are a problem.
Yeah. No, and I didn't even mean to bring it up as though it is a problem. I just think it's very interesting that it's
No, it is interesting that
it's also
there
everywhere.
Does not seem to be any issue calling them teepees, and maybe nobody cares. I don't know. It would seem odd in our modern world that no one would care. But
well, yes, that is the plight of the Native American in America. I will say I do take a little bit of issue with the one on Wayfair listed as the Ejoy Indian Play Teepee. That is astonishing. Mm. Astonishing. But anyway, like they're really, I don't know, they're everywhere. And I don't know. I'm not exactly 1,000,000% sure. Yeah, how to feel
the clubhouse play tent with carrying bag is not called a cabin, but it's totally a log cabin.
It's cabin shaped. Would it be worse if it was? I'm just saying, like,
yeah, why
I don't
are
even
they
know
not,
what to do.
Why
here.
Do they have a euphemism for the freaking log cabin?
Yeah, yeah.
Which I don't think there's anything wrong with that, unless you're trying to worry about log cabin Republicans or something. But that
seems
a stretch,
so. Right? Like, yeah. Who's mad? I don't know. But they really, anyway, I don't know. I'm down the rabbit hole and I want to back out.
Everywhere. My whole point of saying, look, let's get beyond that is this is a trend, and the trend itself is fun. Like, kids love this stuff.
Yeah, I know. I mean, get them an indoor tent. They're super adorable.
Yeah.
Or get them a children's play teepee. Like, but I don't know. But I don't really know. I don't know what to do here.
Call it what you want.
They look really cute. Yeah. That's all. And you're going to see them a lot. When just like take a little spin ski through Redfin.
Was to enter and then you were instructed by my niece that you must then use the Velcro to close it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you had to become a monster. And then she would come up and knock and say, can I come in? And you'd grunt. And then you open the, then she would open the Velcro and the monster would jump out.
Cute.
Yeah.
Cute.
That was, that's the proper usage of this indoor tent.
Of the children's indoor play tent.
Yeah.
Which are everywhere.
Yeah.
And hella cute.
Definitely everywhere. All right. Let's move on Jeff in Kansas City on the booze. I'm not implying Jeff is drunk. He's talking about the booze. Although I have a friend named Jeff that I used to go drinking with who now lives in Kansas City. I don't know if this is him. Anyway,
really?
Jeff says, hey guys, big fan. Wasn't aware of original incarnation, but I've been listening since the beginning of the relaunch. As a step parent of a high school sophomore, I'm another in the legions that like to surprise them by knowing things. This week, Tom mentioned non-tequila agave spirits from India, and I've been meaning to send you a note flagging a nascent thing, locally distilled spirits that are outside the whiskey, vodka, gin norm. So right along with that.
Wow.
I don't know if you mentioned the trend towards locally distilled spirits or if it's as common elsewhere as it seems to be here in Kansas City, but the offshoot is that a Kansas City distiller of American agave spirits exists.
Oh my God.
The way I understand it is he imports the agave pulp and distills it. Check out their origin story for their Mean Mule brand name. Whatever regulatory body that classifies different spirits for competitions, etc., has very recently identified it as a category. Previously, it just fell into the other bucket. I believe there are others entering that category, but get the impression many of them are larger distillers creating boutique brands. Side note, I learned from listening to a local foodie podcast when they talked to the Mean Mule owner that if you look at a Jose Cuervo bottle, it says made with tequila.
No way.
Oh, Jose Cuervo, you were a friend of mine.
You devil. We are learning so much.
I
also, I love that just basically alternative booze is now a subcategory of It's a Thing.
It really has
become just, like,
that.
We've tried all the other booze and now we'd like to move on.
Yeah. Let's, it's the new segment.
Okay. Also, I am so glad about this next email because I have been meaning to bring this up for months. Brian writes in and says, back in October, you talked about PJ Masks. Another kid show that is definitely a thing is Peppa Pig. He says, my two-year-old is obsessed with Peppa Pig, and there are even stories of American children speaking in British accents because of this show, which is funny, and he sent a link about that. But I have been meaning to bring it up because Peppa Pig is not only a thing with the children, but it's a total meme.
Peppa Pig
Peppa Pig is a meme. And
like a meme amongst kids or just like a meme?
Like a meme. Like a regular old meme.
Wow.
Meme-rama ding dong.
Memes usually come from the people who know the thing aging into the meme population. So that's a sign right there.
That's exactly what happened too, I think, because that's my kid, right?
Uh-huh.
Like he's 12 now and he was a Peppa Pig pan. Pig pan.
Say pig that pan. 12 times
pig
fast.
Pan. The most recent Know Your Meme on Peppa Pig was updated 7 months ago. And it's just, and it, that it's, you've totally nailed it. That's exactly how it happened.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah.
Yep.
That Charlie dude on the Big Green Egg says, I'm so sorry y'all didn't know about the Big Green Egg. There is no need to be sorry. We are not about thing shaming here. So it's totally cool. But Charlie dude goes on to say they are awesome, if very expensive, and they have a whole community around them. I first heard about the egg from a friend in Atlanta in 2006 or 2007. I've seen them around Texas at barbecue cookoffs, and I've had neighbors who have owned them. Since I knew about something, I just assumed everybody knew about it.
That's, I know.
That's how, that's the hard thing with thing spotting. Mm-hmm. He says, I think the green big egg is one of those trends that has been slowly growing in popularity. And I imagine those types of trends are harder to notice than the flash in the pan ones like fidget spinners. What happened to fidget spinners anyway? Says that Charlie dude.
I found one the other day in my house and it really made me laugh. Yep.
I remember when fidget spinners were hot going, this is definitely one of those things we're going to look back on and go, wow, that was very of its year.
Yeah. Like, yeah. This is not going to last. I do wonder if the Big Green Egg has just like made it out of traditional barbecue land, aka the South, and is finally like getting to California. And then Kyle commented on the blog about a word thing that I'm frankly embarrassed. I didn't even notice because I have been doing this. I have a new thing, says Kyle. It's been around a while, but it's now really getting out of hand. The word existential. There is hardly a newscast, podcast, or general commentary that this word isn't thrown around in. I guess people think it makes them look smart. In most cases, it appears they don't even know the definition of the word. Get off my lawn. That's all for now. And also, that is so
Wait, Kyle, who are you talking about when you say podcasts? Do I need to be offended?
I guarantee that I have said it on this show like a million times. And it is. It's just this sort of like throwaway adjective now, like, oh, the existential realness of my anxiety right now. I mean, it just is like, it is a thing, tacular vocabulary thing. Like, Kyle, you should get like a nailed it award.
Kyle, hell is other people.
Oh, buddy.
There is no exit.
I am just feeling the existential weight of your observation.
Do know
right now.
The definition of the word, okay?
God. Blackshada in the Discord says, I guess we millennials are sort of having a constant existential crisis. I actually think a big reason that it's become part of the parlance is because we keep talking about it in relation to climate.
Oh, right. An existential threat. A threat to existence. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but now it's like everywhere.
There's a couple of things here. First of all, existentialism is something that I did read a lot of when I got my philosophy minor. So I took exception to this quite directly, that in a way that I know Kyle didn't mean. Second of all, it is a living language, right? And as annoying as it can be sometimes when people start drifting the meaning of a word, that's how it happens. What you just said, where people use it properly and in regard to the environment, and then people start to adapt that and like, oh, it's an existential threat to the world. Well, your breaking up with me is an existential threat to my happiness. And then the beat goes on as you start transferring it and using it for other stuff.
You're so mad at Kyle right now. You're mad at Kyle.
No, I'm not. I'm not mad at Kyle. He said, get off my lawn. That made it all better.
Well, yeah, that's true. But however, just as a pure like awareness of constant usage thing, Kyle has nailed it because it's everywhere.
Absolutely. Everywhere. Absolutely.
Time to revel in the genius that is producer Rich for a moment. And the generosity of our patrons.
The shout outs this week are Casablanca, my favorite movie ever based.
I mean, oh my God. Begin.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, Gabriel Cohen walks into mine.
He is looking at you, Jake Woods.
Louis St. Amour, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Last night we said a great many things. You said I was to do the thinking for both of us. Well, I've done a lot of it since then, and it all adds up to one thing. Mike Akins.
Louis in the Louis quote, and things in the last one. Genius!
I mean, bravo, Producer Rich. Slow clap to you, my friend. Slow clap to you. And slow clap to those of you who are actually in the shout out tier, which means that you support us on Patreon at the shout out level, which is amazing. We're so grateful to you and to everybody who supports the show. And we hope that access to the Discord and the ad-free RSS and the genius shout-outs make it all worthwhile. Patreon.com/itsathing is where you can join the fun.
And keep those emails coming. Feedback@itsathing.me.
Send them. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.